Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org. It's my privilege this morning to have an opportunity to share God's Word together with all of us. And so I'm going to invite you, if you have your Bibles open or have with you, to open them with me at this time to our Scripture passage. You might also have the app on your phone or another mobile device. Feel free to pull it up there. Or if you'd like a hard copy of God's Word, there are a few over by the Welcome Center. You can grab one of those. Feel free to borrow that this morning. We are going to be in a Scripture passage today. We'll put that here on the screen. It is a passage that's found in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah is this large book, kind of just a little right to center. And so maybe you're in the middle of the Bible, you're going to find the big book of Psalms or the big book of Proverbs. Keep going to the right a little ways. If you hit Jeremiah or Ezekiel, a couple other big books there in the middle, back up a little bit, you'll find this large book called Isaiah. We're going to be in chapter 43 this morning, and we're going to start in verse 1. And so Isaiah 43, starting in verse 1, and as you're finding that passage this morning, just a little update of what we are doing here and where we're at here at Westview last week, this week, and the next couple of weeks. And if you want a longer explanation about all of this, you can go back to our website or our Facebook page. You can check out the first 5 or 6 minutes or so of last week's message, kind of laid out what we're doing and how we got to this point today. But basically what we're saying is that in the midst of all the messages that are out there, all the things that are coming at us, whether they are things from the news or from social media or the conversations that we have with neighbors and coworkers and classmates and even the self-talk that we have, all of these things, these messages that are coming at us, some of them are good, some of them are not always so helpful, but they're all impactful, they're all influential to us, that in the midst of all of those things, what we want to do here at Westview is we want to listen to the message from the Lord. We want to listen to what it is that the Lord is saying to us. And here in Isaiah 43, we have 7 of the most comforting, encouraging words and verses that I think we'll find in all of Scripture about what the Lord says to us and what the Lord says about us and what the Lord says for us. And so we're spending some time here in Isaiah 43 and listening to what it is that the Lord says. Last week we began and we heard that the Lord says this. He says, I have created you. And we talked about how we are created in the image of God and how we are fearfully and wonderfully made and how we have been made and formed and created for God's glory. So now we're going to look again here at Isaiah 43 and listen again to what it is that the Lord has to say to us. And so before we do, would you please join me in prayer? Let's pray together. Lord, we believe this morning that you have a word for us, that you have something you want to say to us this day. So by your Spirit's power, would you give us listening ears, hearts to receive, minds to understand, so that no matter who we are this day, no matter where we're at, even in this moment, we would hear what you are saying to us. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Friends, I would invite you to follow along as we listen to these words from the Lord. Isaiah 43, starting in verse 1, but now this is what the Lord says, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you, and people in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Amen. You know, truly appreciate what is, we have to fully understand what was. And this, I think, how, you know, one generation sort of looks to the next generation and says, that generation doesn't appreciate how hard we had it. Right? I mean, I don't know if it's really a cliche, but that old saying, I think we've all heard it and maybe even said it before, right? Well, when I was a kid, I had to walk to school 3 miles in a foot of snow uphill both ways. Yes? Heard that? Said it? Maybe it's a little outdated. Maybe we need a little bit more of a relevant one for us in this generation now. Maybe this has been said in our home. Well, I didn't get a cell phone until I was 24. And you know what it did? It made a phone call. Right? Here's why I bring this up. The very first two words we hear the Lord say in Isaiah 43, the first words recorded here are the words, fear not. Fear not. Those are great words. Those are words that are going to show up all throughout Scripture and affirm the same message from God to His people. And I hope that we will take comfort in those words today where the Lord says, fear not. But to truly appreciate the power and the impact and the comfort that those two words possess, we must grasp where the people were at before they heard those words. And that lies in the last thing that the Lord has said to His people. So we dabbled in this just a little bit last week in chapter 42, but we need to return now back to chapter 42 of Isaiah. And the Lord is speaking here. He's speaking through His prophet Isaiah, and the Lord has this to say to His people and about His people and for His people. In the very last verses of Isaiah 42, the Lord says, you're blind. And He doesn't just say it once or twice. He says at least 5 times he mentions that they're blind. And he says that you're deaf. And he says that these people, that they, despite the fact that they are plundered and looted, that they're unwilling to respond to His ways. And despite the fact that they are trapped and they're hidden away and that the anger of the Lord has been poured out against them, he says that you're still not listening. You're still not following my ways. And it all comes down to this very last verse in Isaiah 42. It's summarized here. This summarizes the depths to which the people of God have fallen. Look at Isaiah 42. I believe it's verse 25. So He, the Lord, poured out on them His burning anger, the violence of war. Think about that. And we alluded to it last week, right? The people are in oppression. They're in exile. They're in bondage. They're in captivity. And it says this, it enveloped them in flames, yet they did not understand. It consumed them, but they did not take it to heart. Do you hear what's being said here? Listen to those phrases again. It enveloped them. It surrounded them. It covered them, yet they did not understand. It says that it consumed them, but they did not take it to heart. In other words, the people aren't getting it. They're blind and they are deaf to the Lord and they are clueless about what all these troubles that are happening to us. Why are these things happening to us? Why are we suffering? Why is there hardship? What's going on here? Why is this happening to me? Friends, do you see what's happening here? That this is not just spiritual decay. This is not just spiritual failure. This is spiritual ignorance. This is a low moment for the people of God. And then comes Isaiah 43. And it starts with that shift. And we talked about it last week. Remind me again. What are the first two words of Isaiah 43? Say it for me. But now. All that is true there in chapter 42, all those things, blind, deaf, right, hidden away, all this stuff. And then it says, but now. Something changes here. Something happens here. And we'll talk about it a little bit more fully in a couple of weeks. But God's got this love for His people, the people that He has created. And He's got this love for them. And so He takes action. And to His people who are blind and deaf and unaware and floundering and suffering, there are these two words that the Lord starts out by saying to them. Those first two words He speaks here in Isaiah 43. Would you say them with me? Fear not. Let's try it again. Fear not. Fear not. Friends, I trust that those are words of comfort for you and me as well. That while maybe we sit here this morning, we get it, we see the big picture, we understand what's happening, what's going on. But we need to name the reality that we too are blind. We're blinded because of sin. And the reality is that we too are deaf because of our sin. And sin so corrupts us that we too are left hurting and suffering, and often in ways that we don't fully understand, and yet we tangibly feel it. And it's only once we recognize the depths of our spiritual condition, that sin leaves no piece of us untouched, that within us there is nothing that is inherently good because of sin, that there is this low moment in our spiritual journey because there's a time where we are apart from God because of sin before we have the hope of Jesus Christ. And there's this low moment here. And friends, it's only then when we realize the depths of things, when we realize what has been, when we realize the depths of the sin that so corrupts us, it's only then that those words can make their impact. When the Lord says to you and me, fear not. Now here's why the Lord can say those words to His people from Isaiah 42 to Isaiah 43. Here's why the Lord can say those two words to you and me this morning. Here's why they can have such a mighty impact, because this is what the Lord says, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have redeemed you. That word redeem, or maybe we've heard the word redemption or redemptive, right? Redeem is one of those churchy words that we talk about, we name, and we don't always stop and pause and say, well, what does this really mean? So let's take a moment this morning. What does this really mean? Because the Lord says, I have redeemed you. The word redeem is often associated with this idea of deliverance. And that's a good place to start. The fuller definition of the word redeem means to deliver in the sense of reclaiming as one's own. Or to provide or to purchase a freedom for someone or something that has fallen into slavery or debt. In the law, in Leviticus, there's this idea of you purchase, you redeem a house that was once yours, you bring it back. And so to redeem is to reclaim or to buy back that which rightfully belongs to you. Now what does the Lord say to His people in oppression, in exile, in bondage, in slavery? These people who are blind and deaf, and they are looted and plundered and trapped, and they're not understanding. There's spiritual failure and there's spiritual ignorance. What does He say to these people here originally, to His people here in Isaiah 42? And what does the Lord say to you and me this morning? Due to the effects of sin, we who are totally depraved, That every part of us has succumbed to the ways of sin, that though we are made very good, though we are made in the image of God, as we said last week, that we have fallen because of sin into the depths of the grave due to the pervasiveness and the profound toil of sin, that we have to recognize that there's nothing within us that can naturally, on our own, make that movement and mend that relationship with God. What does the Lord say? He says, "Fear not. Fear not, for I have redeemed you." The Lord says, "I have brought you back. I brought you back despite your blindness and your deafness and your unwillingness time and time again to respond to me." And the Lord says, despite all the all-consuming effects of sin, God's great love for His beloved people whom He has created, whom He has formed, who He has made, God says, "I've redeemed you." God reclaims us as His own. Fear not indeed. And in the rest of these verses here, God talks about these two significant things that happen that are a part of this redemptive work, that part of this redemption where God is redeeming us. Two things that happen. And one thing that God says is, "I fear not, I have redeemed you." One of the things is that I've paid the ransom for you. Do we understand what a ransom is? I can tell you, but this morning I want to show you what a ransom is, all right? So I've got a friend of mine, Camden, who's going to help me out this morning. Camden, I'm going to invite you to come on up. I think Dad Eric's going to come on up as well. Camden's going to help me out with this. Now, Camden doesn't know all the things that's going to happen this morning, but I'm going to have you come up here, Camden. And what I've asked him to do is I've asked Camden to take with him something of great worth to him, something that is a prized possession, something very important to him. And I don't know what this is. I'm excited to see what it is. So, Camden, I've got Mike 6 here, Nick. Camden, can you tell me and can you tell everyone here what is the item that you brought with you today?
I brought the Mario Kart video game.
So that's Mario Kart Wii? Awesome. So what do you like to, so you like to play this? Yeah? Here, I'm going to give this to you. So you like to play this?
Yeah.
Do you ever play against anybody in your house?
I play against Dad.
Do you win?
Sometimes.
Sometimes. All right, sometimes. Awesome, awesome. Well, you can put this right here, Camden, okay? So you like to play Mario Kart Wii. Sometimes you play against your dad, and sometimes you win. I hope you keep beating him, okay? All right? Okay. Well, Camden, you didn't know this, but I have something really cool up here as well this morning. Can I show you something this morning, something I think is so cool, so important? Can I show you that to you? Now, have you ever been back there? No? Awesome. Okay. You and your dad are going to come with me. I'm going to show you something back here, okay? So come with me over here. We're going to walk this way. Watch the wires here. We don't want to trip and mess that stuff up here. So come back here. I'm going to show you this really cool thing back here, okay? There's some steps down here, but there's some lights. So hang on right here. We're going to come right around the corner here. Yep, come right around the corner. Camden, can you believe this? Isn't this the coolest set of kitchen stools you have ever seen in your life? I mean, there are tall ones, and there are short ones. There's some that are made out of wood, and some that are made out of metal, and some that have hard tops, and some that have a black top, soft on the top. I mean, Ken, is this the coolest thing you've ever seen in your whole life? No? He's shaking his head at me right now. So this is not the coolest thing. Well, I thought it was pretty cool, but I trust your judgment on this, all right? So let's head back up here. We'll come back up. We'll come back up here. And, all right, he didn't think it was that cool. I thought the stools were pretty cool, but they're not up here. So, Cam, you can grab your thing and you can head back to your seat. Thanks for helping me out this morning.
What is it?
What is that, Cam? Okay, hold on. What did you bring up here? What did you bring? You brought what? You told me about it.
My Mario Kart.
Yeah, that doesn't look like Mario Kart to me. What is that?
A Westview Church.
It says Westview Church. It looks like a note. You want to look at the inside? You want to read what's written on the inside here? You hold that, and you read what's on the inside.
"Dear Camden, I have stolen your very important item. You can have it back by paying me $200. Well, Pastor Josh."
That's a ransom, my friends. That's what a ransom is, right? So you had a very important item. It got stolen. Now the ransom is that you have to pay $200 to get it back. At least I said love, Pastor Josh, at the end of the note, right? So This is what a ransom is, something very important. And they're asking for $200, then he'll get his item back. Now, Camden, do you have $200?
No.
Think your dad has $200?
Yeah.
Yeah, you do? Would you like your dad to pay the ransom?
Yeah.
Yeah? Well, I think I'll be a nice guy. I'll give it back to you, okay? Because you've done an awesome job helping me out this morning, all right? As you go back to your seat, I think if you walk that way and walk past Mr. Jason, he might know where it is, okay? All right, thank Camden for helping me out this morning. You better get it. There you go, buddy. That's a ransom, yes? Camden did a great job. Thank you for helping me out. A ransom is that which is demanded and then sometimes paid, right, for the release or the freedom of something or someone that is in captivity, right? And this is the Lord here in our scripture passage. This is something the Lord is so willing to do for the freedom, for the return of his people. You have your Bibles open now. Look at verse 3 with me. Right, this is what the Lord, right? The Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Verse 3 goes on and says this, I give Egypt for your ransom. He says they'll do the same thing with Cush and Seba. And then go on in verse 4, I will give people in exchange for your life. I will give people in exchange for your life. I will give people in exchange for you. I mean, this is exactly what a ransom is. And in the history of God's relationship with his people, great nations have fallen to make a way for God's people to come back to him. And friends, not just nations, but the dominion of darkness and death and sin. Jesus himself says in one of the places, Matthew 20, Jesus says, he talks about himself, the Son of Man, he's talking about himself. He says, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a, help me out, ransom for many. Here's the thing, friends. There's a price tag for that sin that we talked about a moment ago. There's a price tag that for that sin that puts us into captivity. There's a debt that needs collecting. And that price tag is death. And not just any death, but our death. But instead what God has done is he has given his Son in our stead. He's given his Son in our place. God paid that ransom of death, through the death of his Son, Jesus Christ, so that you and I might be redeemed, so that you and I might have our debt fully paid, so that you and I might have our sins fully atoned for, so that you and I might be able to return back to him. Scripture says you were bought at a price. This is what the Lord says. He says, I have redeemed you. Pay this ransom for you. And for us, friends, it was the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ. And that leads to the second thing in this scripture passage that the Lord says is a part of this redemptive work. And you can find the second one summarized at the end of verse 1, although we're going to see it all the way through the passage. So at the end of the verse 1, God is saying here, fear not, I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. When I think about this word summoned, it means to call. I am instantly brought back to the farm. You know, Dad and Grandpa, they'd be working somewhere on the yard. They might be in the machine shed. They might be in the milk house. They might be in the hay structure. They might be in the hog barn. They might be by the grain bins. They might be anywhere along that on the yard. But then lunch was ready. And so you stood on the porch. And you yelled out, lunch is ready, because he didn't know where they were. And you summoned them to come. It's time to eat. When we think about the word summon, we might think of a jury summons or even a court summons, right? Or a court summon comes to you, maybe someone delivers it to you or it gets mailed to you and says, you need to appear before the judge at this time on this date. And that has a little force behind it, doesn't it? Both those understandings of the word summon are applicable here. They both fit here. And what I love is that what we find in these verses, there's this all-encompassing nature of the Lord summoning those whom he has redeemed. Look at verse 5 with me. I will bring your children from the east. I will gather you from the west. Verse 6, I will say to the north, give them up. And to the south, do not hold them back. And if someone somehow misses the cardinal directions, look what it says at the end of verse 6. It says, bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. And if someone is somehow missed with that, look what it says at the very first part of verse 7. Everyone who is called by my name. There is no place and there is no one left out. The Lord is calling in all directions to all his people to come back. To come home, to come to himself, to come to the one who has redeemed them. He's urging, he's even demanding that no one from anywhere be left behind. Friends, I don't know about you, but I love this image of our God calling for us, calling us to come. To come to him. And I think I love it even more because it says here, I think about this fact that he's calling us by name. By name. See, he knows us. He knows you. And it does not matter who you are or where you're at. The Lord is calling you, his beloved child, to come to him, to return to him. He has redeemed you. He's reclaimed that which is his own. And he's calling, inviting, summoning each one of you, no matter who you are or where you're at, to come to him. I have summoned you by name. And that image is so fitting because that's what this is. That's what the church is. The very word in the New Testament for church is ekklesia. And ekklesia is a word with a preposition at the beginning. The preposition is ek. And ek means out of or from. And the word klesia comes from the Greek verb kaleo, which means to call. And literally the church are the called out ones. The ones who are called out. And think about that great passage in 1 Peter 2. We are to declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. And so let's put this all together this morning. This is what the Lord says. To a people who are lost in spiritual failure, right? To the blind, to the deaf, to the unaware, to the trapped, to those who are hurting, to those who don't know which way is up today, to those who feel like all is lost, to those who don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. He says, fear not. Fear not. Why? Because I've redeemed you. I have redeemed you. I've brought you back to myself. I have paid a ransom for you. I have called you from darkness to light. Fear not indeed. But friends, let me leave you with this. There's one other thing, and I think this pulls this all together. This solidifies the comfort and the goodness and the blessedness when we hear those words, fear not, because this is what the Lord has done. He says, I have redeemed you, the ransom, the summoning. It all points to this fact, friends. Don't leave here this morning by missing this. Don't leave here and miss this. The Lord loves you and me, his people, with such an intensity of love that he will do and he has done anything to bring you back to himself, regardless of how difficult it is, regardless to the extent that he must go, not just giving up nations, not just giving up people, but God would go to the extent that he would give up his one and only Son. Friends, God will do anything, has done anything to redeem you, to welcome you into His loving arms of embrace, to alleviate the fears that you are facing this day, to give you peace and to give you rest. God has done and God will do anything to lift us up out of the depths of darkness so that we might walk in the light of life. God has done and God will do anything so that He can say these three little words to you and about you and for you. You are mine. This is what the Lord says. Fear not. I have redeemed you. You are mine. Amen. Let's pray together. Loving God, to the extent that you have gone to bring us back home to you, it is honestly, it's almost incomprehensible. You didn't climb a high mountain. You didn't cross wide rivers. You didn't walk hundreds of miles. But you didn't take out a loan or pay cash. You didn't even give up nations or even give up peoples. But God, you gave up your one and only Son, Jesus Christ. His death was the ransom for our life with you. It is, when we stop and think about it, God, it is nearly overwhelming to comprehend. And yet, even though we can't completely grasp the full extent of unconditional love and pure grace and true mercy, God, we name today, we are so, so, so grateful. We are grateful for the words that you speak this day. That though we are lost in our sin and we are apart from you, you redeem us. You call us back to yourself. You say to us, you are mine. God, I pray that whoever needs to hear these words this morning, whether they are sitting just a few feet away from this stage or maybe sitting across a video screen watching online, God, I pray that all will hear what you have to say this day, that your words will fall upon open ears and softened hearts and lives that simply need to be reassured this morning that no matter who they are or where they're at, the reach of your summons, the depths of your ransom includes them. That you love us. You're calling us back to you. And we can find a home in you. And God, we name this morning, this is really just a message we need to hear again and again. Every single one of us, to be reassured once more with these words that you are mine. And so, Spirit, we pray that you would be at work in our hearts and our lives in this very moment and throughout this week ahead, that you would implant and imprint upon us the message of the Lord upon us and within us. God, we too want to just spend a few moments today in prayer as a gathered community of brothers and sisters in Christ. And we want to pray for one another today. We pray for these precious children who are here on the stage a few moments ago. And we thank you for the gift of your word. And Lord, we do pray that it would be a treasured possession to them. Not just because it's a book that can be on their shelf, but it can be something that they would read and they would know you and they would know your plan of redemption for them. May it be true not just for them, but for all of us, that as we open your word, you would reveal your goodness and your grace to us again and again. Thank you for these children. Thank you for parents who are investing in the faith development of their children's lives. And not just those who are on stage here today, but for all of us as parents and as families as we grow in you. Lord, we also pray this morning for the things that are on our hearts and on our minds, the things that are spoken, the things that are unspoken. We pray for things like Dave as he recovers from knee surgery. We pray that pain would be minimal. We pray that his recovery process will be smooth. And we lift up others too, Lord, with health concerns, whether it's a short-term illness today or a chronic concern. May your healing hand be upon all. Lord, we pray for Sharon and we pray for her upcoming move, and we pray for others who are facing changes and transitions and maybe even uncertainties about what the future may bring. Lord, today we pray for My Faith Ministries and for the wisdom and the many, many ways that ministry is manifested through their servant hands. And along with them, God, we pray for ministry. Ministry that's happening here within these walls. Ministry that's happening within our local community. We pray for congregations around us that are sharing the love of Jesus Christ in this world. We pray for ministries that are serving those in need. We pray for ministries across this globe, some that we support and some that we know so well and some that we will never know, but who are also championing the name of Jesus Christ. Through all of that, we pray that the good news of redemption found in and through the name of Jesus would be known. And so, God, for all of this and so much more that we could pray about today, we lift it all to You. Thankful that You are a God who knows us by name, and hears each one of our prayers. And according to Your good will and plan, You respond. We trust in You. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church Podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied Scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.